my journey. Tell me on my way. Oh, yeah. Singing, Lord, I want you to help me. Travel from day to day. Lord, I need your help, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Jesus, please. Every time I look up, God is up to something else. Lord, I need your help, God. Lord, I need your help, Jesus. Oh, singing, Lord,
I want you to help me.
Singing, Lord,
I want you to help me.
Jesus, please help me on my. Oh, help me on my way. Singing, oh, Lord, I need you. Help me.
Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Matter of fact, let's praise for all the help he's already given us. He's given us help every day of our lives. That's where why we are where we are, able to be here this morning. It's in the Lord Jesus that we move and have our health and strength. He is a help in the time of trouble. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank the Lord for this choir. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you now, Lord Jesus, for this preaching opportunity. No form or fashion, Lord, just straightforward, share your word as you've given it to me. Holy Spirit, use me. Use me. Don't let me get caught up in my flesh, Lord. Let me be a most humble servant, but let me speak the truth with clarity and confidence. And I pray that every heart here is fertile soil to take the seed that I'm going to plant today. And Lord, you will get do the increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the deacons, trustees, auxiliary leaders, members of Roanoke Salem, those who are visiting, to my brother and my sisters in the ministry who are here with us today. It is my distinct privilege, my pleasure, my honor to be used of the Most High God to share his word. And I thank God for each and every one of you, because we all together, collectively, we bless this world by our presence. Amen. Don't you ever, ever forget that your being a believer in Jesus Christ, even with our shortcomings, even with our frailties, being a believer in Jesus Christ and praying for others, having God the Holy Spirit dwell within us, we are a blessing to this nation, not just our little branch of Zion, other men and women of God all over this country, all over this world. We are the ones that hold the enemy back from taking control because of our prayers and because of our righteousness and our desire to live right before the Most High God. Don't ever forget who you are in Christ. I don't care what people say about you. Remember who you are in Christ. Amen. From the book of James on this morning, James chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 20 through 26. James chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 20 through 26. I said to you all, and I meant what I said about DeVito and the choir singing, the change is going to come, and Lord, Help me, because we're in a transitional period. We really are. And some people may have already picked up on that and see that, and some may not, and that's okay too. But spiritually speaking, we're in a transitional period. I put it this way. I know I am. I know I am. And so as the person in position of leadership in this particular branch of Zion, I'm going to share with you the vision, if you will, what the Lord is saying to me that I need to say to the church family. And then, of course, you as individuals have to decide what you do with it. But the Lord has said to me, just share it and keep walking. Amen. Just share it and keep walking. I haven't asked you to go to nobody, say nothing about what we'll just share it. And as you keep walking, I'm with you, and we're going to walk forward together. Amen. Or we won't. But I'm going to keep walking. James chapter 2, verses 20 through 26. I'm reading this from the NIV. It says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? In the King James, it says, but wilt thou not know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And you all know that. You've heard that before. Again, I'm still reading in the NIV. It says, was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Verse 23 from the NIV. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So just believing in God calls you righteous. Just because you will believe in him. Amen. And he was called God's friend, Abraham. Verse 24, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Let me read 24 again. You see that a person is justified by what we do and not just by faith alone. Verse 25, in the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, it says, in the King James, it says the harlot, but the prostitute, was even Rahab not considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction so that they wouldn't get caught by the king's army? Verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Brenda, Evelyn, Monte, deacons, trustees, Roanoke Salem members, please, please try to hear my heart and what I'm going to say this morning. I'm going to talk to us just for a few minutes and ask us to stretch our faith. I'm going to ask us today to consider stretching our faith. So here in James chapter 2, the writer reminds us of how Abraham, the father of the many nations, how he acted on his faith in God as he raised his hand with a knife and he was ready to kill his son Isaac. By the natural laws that govern human reproductivity, try saying that three times fast, Isaac should have never even been born. So now you think about it. You got a child that should have never been born, and now you get ready to kill him or her because of your belief in God, because God asked you to. Let me go back a few years. Jehovah God had come to visit Abraham and Sarah one time. He came down from heaven, God and two angels, and they were both way too old to reproduce and have children. But God said they were going to have a son. God said it. That sealed it. They believed it. Here's the thing that should excite you and me. Abraham believed God. He's looking at his body every day. He know his body ain't equipped to produce no children no more. And Sarah's neither. But God said it, and Abraham believed God. 9 months later or so, here's Isaac. Isaac was born. Abraham and Sarah stretched their faith, and they turned their belief in God into action. and Isaac was their reward. Okay, fast forward a few years. So here are Abraham and Sarah. They're happy as they can be with their little boy Isaac. He's running around being busy the way kids always are, particularly little boys, probably a little hard-headed too. And then Abraham says to God one day, he's out there probably throwing the ball with Isaac, you know, just throwing the ball back and forth, whatever they had back then. And God says to Abraham in his spirit, I want you to sacrifice. I want you to kill Isaac. I'm out here throwing the ball, or I'm out here showing my son how to fish, or I'm out here in the getting eggs out the chicken coop with Isaac. And I'm just as happy as I can be. I'm happy. My wife is happy. That makes me even happier because my wife is happy. And I'm so thankful to God for this little boy who should not have even been coming into this world. And God says, I want you to kill him. Can you imagine how Abraham and Sarah must have felt? Because Abraham had to tell her. He had to tell her what God said. Amen. But Abraham decided he would stretch his faith in God again. And he took Isaac up on the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice. Before he could do it, God rewarded Abraham's faith by providing a ram. Here's the point. Abraham stretched his faith when he took action to obey God. When's the last time God told one of us to do something and we did it without hesitation? Amen. Amen. Think about it in your own life. Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac because he knew he could trust God. God had told Abraham in a dream before Isaac was born to leave his family, his father's homeland, take his wife and go to a place that I'm going to show you. Just get up 2 a.m. in the morning and just pack up your stuff. Don't tell nobody nothing. Even when folk come in and say, well, Abe, come to the tent. They say, Abraham, what? We saw the light come on in your tent. What you doing? God said, I got to go. Well, Abraham, that doesn't make any sense. God said, I got to go. Well, where are you going, Abraham? God didn't tell me. He just said, I got to go. And we love you dearly, but we're going. We'll send you a letter when we get to where we're going. Well, where are you going? I don't know. But when I get there, I'll send you a letter. Amen. Abraham knew he could trust God. Abraham, the Bible says, did not stagger at what God said. In other words, Abraham had complete confidence in God. Ask yourself, do I really have complete confidence in God? Complete confidence. Now, there's some things right off the top of my head. All of us can rattle off 5 or 6 things. Yeah, I believe God for this, and I believe God for that. But do you have complete confidence in God? What does that mean, Reverend? That means that you trust God in everything, in every area of your life, not just the parts you want him to deal with. Not just the parts you want him to fix. Not just the parts you want him to let you kind of handle on your own. No. Complete confidence means that in every area of your life, you trust God. Most of us know the Bible definition of faith. We can repeat it with our eyes closed. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen, not seen, whatever way you want to say it. But let me tell you that when we think of Hebrews 11 and 1, we got to quickly add, and we should quickly add to that definition, Hebrews 11 and 6, which says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone that comes to God must believe that God is and that God rewards people that diligently, that consistently seek him. That means everything in my life. That means every area of my life. If I'm consistently seeking God, that means that whatever it is that's going on, good, bad, look, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I give it to God. And I trust him with whatever he tells me to do with it. Amen. He rewards those who consistently seek him. Faith is putting your trust in God into action. Now, I preached this message in 2017, because I look back over my notes and I I saw. I said, I preached this message. I've tweaked it a little bit this time because God has given me something different. But I preached this message in 2017. So that ain't that far back behind us. But I'm revisiting it this morning because I want us to have a faith revival at Roanoke Salem. I don't mean a service where we're going to have two or three nights of somebody coming in preaching about faith, and we could do that too. But no. I want us to have a faith revival within ourselves. I want us as individuals and as a church family to have a faith revival. Amen. I think some of us, and I'll put up my hand first. Some of us are too comfortable and too content to just play it safe and not stretch ourselves to bring God more glory. Amen. Church family, please, I beg of you, try to hear my heart. We do a lot already. Lord knows we do. Nobody can say that Roanoke Salem is not a loving church. They can say it, but they lying. The devil is a lie, and they a lie too. You better not say it in front of me. We're a loving church. We give the folk we don't even know. We help folk locally, statewide, worldwide, and other churches do the same. That doesn't make us unique. But we are a loving church. We are a giving church. We are a caring church. You don't know how it warms my heart, not as the pastor, but just as a church member, when people have situations going on and we show up, not so much in big numbers, whatever you consider big, but just the fact that we show up at all. And we don't care who it is. They're not certain folk that some of us will go see about them and other folk we don't care. No, we don't do that. That's not our heart. Because see, some of y'all don't know, but I know because people tell me. We got folks sitting in here right now to go see people on a regular basis that we don't ever see in church. We don't ever see these folks in these pews, but we got folks sitting here right now that call them, go by their house, go do communion with them, go take them food, go take them to their doctor's appointment. We got folks sitting in here right now that go out of their way to be a blessing to folk who are members of Roanoke Salem and don't come to Roanoke Salem. Amen. So you can't tell me, you can't tell Edwin nothing about Roanoke Salem. I don't care what you say. But you can't convince me nothing bad about Roanoke Salem because I know what kind of heart we have as a church family. But what I'm saying is that there are some areas where I believe we can do more for God. And there are some areas I believe we can do better. It's just a matter of us being willing to stretch our faith. We don't have any reason at all to be afraid to stretch our faith. Look at how God has already blessed Roanoke Salem Missionary Baptist Church in 152 years. First of all, the fact that we're here after 152 years, that's a blessing in and of itself. To God be the glory for that. 152 years, and here this branch of Zion still exists. That's a blessing in and of itself. That means there have been some God-believing and God-obeying folks who've come through Roanoke Salem over that time. Think about all the different things, even recently, that by stretching our faith, we've been able to do. We collectively. Some of you haven't been a part of all of it. I haven't been a part of all of it. Some of you have. At one time, that fellowship hall stopped. It wasn't as large as it is now. Now, you know, at the time that the idea came up to expand it, somebody said we shouldn't do it. Somebody said we can't do it. Somebody probably said we won't do it. But some folks were willing to stretch their faith. There it is. Who do we owe for it? Nobody. I'm not bragging. I'm just talking about what happens when you're willing to stretch your faith. And it don't take everybody. And I thank you, Lord, that it don't take everybody. There's a commercial kitchen back there that any restaurant in the area could come back there and prepare meals in. At the time that the decision was made to go forward, that, you know, some folks were probably not meaning any harm, but just said, no, we shouldn't do it. We probably can't do it. Why are we going to do it? But there it is. We have folk asking all the time, can we use Roanoke Salem for this and that and the other? Can we use your fellowship hall? Can we use your kitchen? Yeah, because it's here. Because it's available. The parking lot. Y'all know it won't always pave. I guarantee you somebody said we don't have to pave the parking lot. It's been dirt all this time and it's just fine. We ought to just leave it just like it is. We shouldn't spend that money on that parking lot. It's been a blessing. There it is. I bet you there are more folk in here glad the parking lot's paved than those who are glad it ain't paved. Amen. Amen. Listen now. Let me say this quickly and clearly. I'm not saying any of this to try to make anybody feel bad. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about what happens when people are willing to stretch their faith and go beyond just being like, you know, because here's what you need to understand. And this is what God said to me. There are times he wants us to stretch our faith. That's how we grow spiritually. Your faith is just like a muscle. If you don't use it and exercise it, those of you who know science and physiology and all those different things, but I mean, it'll atrophy. That ain't the right word. How you say it? Say it. That word, yeah. In other words, it'll get so you can't use it. Am I right, Miss Hattie? It'll get so you can't use it. It'll draw up. Your muscles will draw up from lack of use, lack of blood flowing through, whatever it may be. But they'll be there, but they'll be no good to you whatsoever until you correct whatever the problem is so you can begin to exercise and use them again. Your faith is the same way. You can be content. Jesus said, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. So that's not always talking about just asking for bigger and better. Opening your mouth and stretching your faith on some things. Some of us will convince ourselves, I can't have this. I can't have that. I don't have the other. And we'll make God be the one why we don't have it. Well, God, if God wanted me to have it, he would have. Did you ask? So because God is saying, okay, well, it's there for you. But if you don't want it, I ain't going to put it on you. But if you ask me, if it's in my will, I'll give it to you. But first of all, you got to ask. We got to be, God will call on us to stretch our faith. The Bible, let me say this, every major change, every major improvement, every upgrade that has happened just within our church family and within your personal lives, it's because you were willing to trust God and stretch faith. Bible is full of examples of people who stretched their faith and God rewarded them. Noah built an ark on dry land. Folks told him he was crazy as he could be. And they all drowned except for him and his family. David went out to fight Goliath. Wasn't even in the army. Wasn't even old enough to be in the army. Didn't have a sword. Didn't have a shield. Just had a slingshot. And I ain't talking about one of them slingshots that we have where you pull it back like that. No, he had one of them slingshots. You take a rock or something and you whirl it like this. Whatever power it was generating was coming from what he could do. And killed the most vicious assassin living on the face of the earth that day. Moses stretched his faith and went back to Egypt after having left there as a criminal. They wanted to kill Moses when he left there. But he believed God when he said, go back. Well, God, you know, I can't talk. He said, that's all right, Aaron going with you. Aaron probably said, well, wait a minute, Lord, don't put me in this. Lord, I ain't asked for this, Lord. But Moses went back. Led the folks out of Egypt. Esther went to her husband, the king, when her life and her all of her people's lives were in danger. Esther put her life at risk if she dared to go into her own husband's inner chamber unless he had said for her to come. Had no business going into his inner chamber. Even the queen couldn't go in there unless the king said, come in. And when the guards at that entrance, at that probably silk curtain type entrance into his inner chamber saw her coming, I know he put his hand on his sword because he said, she's going to be just like the rest of them. When she stepped her first toe over that line, I'm taking her head off. But when her husband saw her coming, he said, stop. That's my queen. Back up. Come on in here. Tell me what you want, baby. Stretched her faith. I ain't making it up. Read it for yourself. I could go on. Joshua and Caleb came back out of Canaan land one of 10 spies, 8 of them said, we can't go in and take the land because they're giants and they're vicious people in there. And Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able to take the land. Let's go take it right now. Stop talking, y'all. Come on, let's go. Why? Because God had told Moses that the land was theirs. And Joshua and Caleb believed what God said. I don't care if there's some giants in there. We'll kick them in the knees, and when they bend over, kick them in the head. But it's our land, because God said it's our land. They stretched their faith. Now, that's a good example. Joshua and Caleb would have been in the promised land 3 days, because it took them 3 days to walk from Egypt to Canaan. Joshua and Caleb would have been in the promised land on the 4th day. Everybody else wasn't ready. So how long did it take them? 40 years. And guess what? The ones who didn't believe, they died. They never went in there. Their children went in there. But Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the original 1.5 or almost 2 million people that came out of Egypt that actually stepped foot in the promised land. Moses didn't go in there because God told him he wasn't going to let him go in there. He let him see it, but he wasn't going to let him go in there. But the rest of them didn't go in there for unbelief. Two out of 1.5 to 2 million. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, you're going to have the Son of God. Are you crazy? I'm engaged. I've never been touched by a man in that way. How am I going to be pregnant? You are. Plus, you're going to marry that man too. Amen. Did it happen? Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, James, Peter, and Paul, all of them stretched their faith to help bring God's love, grace, and mercy and justice to our world. How did they bring it? In this book right here. They brought it in this book right here, whatever yours looked like at the house. This being Black History Month, I want to tell you about a few African-American Christians who stretched their faith for God's glory and for the benefit of humanity. Now, I always like to find the folks who are less known, less talked about. And thank God there's hundreds of them. We'll never run out of folk we can talk about. Phyllis Wheatley, some of y'all may know her name. She lived from 1753 to 1784. She was born in Gambia, West Africa. She was stolen from her parents as a slave at 7 years old. She was sold to a man named John and his wife, Susanna Wheatley. They lived in Boston. She was highly intelligent, she learned English quickly, and she began to read and write poetry. No American publisher would publish her poetry, even though in the local area she was famous and renowned, but nobody would put her stuff out there nationally. You know, this was before Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff. She didn't have none of that to help her out. But there was this woman named Selina, the Countess of Huntington. In other words, somebody from across the pond, somebody from Europe, got a hold of some of her writing and helped her work get put out into the general public. And now Phyllis Wheatley is recognized as being the first major Black poet. And she is one of the first women poets, published poets in America. A man named Henry McNeil Turner. He lived somewhere in the mid-1800s. He was the grandson of an African prince. They brought him to South Carolina, but he was never a slave. The reason why is because at that time, the British Empire, which had, of course, come over here to the colonies, they called them. The British Empire had a rule that if you had any royal blood in you, you could not be made a slave. Didn't matter who you were, what country you were from, because they were all over the world. But if you had royal blood in you, you could not be made a slave. So he was never a slave, but he wasn't treated like a prince either. He was a janitor at a law firm. The employees at that law firm recognized how intelligent he was so quickly, and they helped him become a well-educated man. And because of his faith and his going into preaching ministry, Henry McNeil Turner became the first Black chaplain in the history of the U.S. Army. Henry McNeil Turner. Somebody else that stretched their faith, a woman named Jerania Lee. She lived from 1783 to 1864. She grew up in Philadelphia. She was a member of the AME Church, the American Methodist Episcopal Church, at a time when women weren't allowed to do anything but just serve in the church, you know, maybe sing in the choir. But a woman preaching, oh man, that was not even thought about. But she had told her pastor that God had called her to preach. And it wasn't so much her pastor didn't believe her, but her pastor was afraid to buck the system. He didn't want to go against the grain. But one Sunday, 8 years after she told her pastor God had called her to preach, a visiting preacher had been invited to the church, Carl, and when the man got up to preach, he couldn't talk. He lost his voice all of a sudden. The pastor was stunned. He didn't know what to do. Jerania Lee got up, came to the pulpit, and started preaching. And her message was so dynamic that her pastor said, I've got to support her. I cannot deny anymore what God has called you to do. So she becomes recognized as the first black woman to preach the gospel publicly with the support of the AME Church. Amen. Last but not least, somebody more modern day, Reverend Dr. William Barber. Dr. Barber, born in 1963. He's the past president of our state NAACP. He's a fierce and fearless advocate for oppressed and marginalized people. He was one of the founders of the Moral Monday movement that took place in our state capitol several years ago. Now he is the president of the Poor People's Movement, and he is he's one of the co-founders of the Poor People's Campaign, and he's one of the co-founders of the Repairs of the Breach. Now, he's a human and civil rights advocate, and he's respected all around the world. But he's got to stretch his faith every day. I know he does, because people have threatened that man's life. People have told him in letters and on social media, and have told local places that have invited him to speak, we're going to kill him. Man lives in Goldsboro, North Carolina. He ain't hiding nowhere. So not only for himself, but for his wife and his children and his grandchildren, all of them are at risk because he's doing what the Lord called him to do. Every time he gets on a plane, every time he gets in a car, every time he goes somewhere to speak publicly, he's got to stretch his faith and trust the Lord to keep that hedge of protection around him. Those bodyguards that he has from the State Bureau of Investigation when he's in this state, and those people that go with him when he's out of state, the FBI assigns folks to travel with him and be in place to protect him wherever he goes. He's got to stretch his faith to believe that somehow, some way, every one of them is going to do their job and do what they're supposed to do and be willing to give up their lives to protect him if it comes to that. We sing that song, church family. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word, he's never failed me yet. If you've come this far by faith, what are you doing? You're stretching your faith. You're stretching your faith to have come this far by faith. You've got to stretch your faith to come and to go anywhere. I'm telling all this today because we must stretch our faith, because the Bible says that faith without works is dead. In other words, if we don't put our belief in God into action, we really don't have faith. Pure and simple. If we don't put our faith in God into action, we really don't have faith. Here's another thing. God's heart is moved by the quality of our faith and not by the quantity. We don't need much. Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, if just enough faith the size of a mustard seed, and we can move mountains. If your prayers are not being answered the way you want them to today, it may be because you need to stretch your faith. Look, this is going to really make some people scratch their head, and believe for more. Maybe the reason why God not answering your prayer, you're not asking for enough. Or whatever it is. And I know, and that's not prosperity preaching. I'm telling you, do you not know that God says that All the earth belongs to the believers. All the resources of the world that are his are at our disposal because we are the righteousness of God. We have not because we ask not. Where did you tell me the prayer of Jabez was again? First Chronicles 4. Go in there sometime. It begins at chapter verse 9, right? Something like that. 9:10. Go read. Write this down. I want everybody to write this down. First Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. At your own leisure, read the prayer of Jabez. Jabez stretched his faith. And I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to try to quote. I could have asked Monte to read it, but that's not necessary. But let me say this. This is what you need to know. When you read that, those scriptures, and the Bible says, and God answered his prayer. So you read what Jabez asked God to do, and the Bible says, and God did exactly what he asked. Why? Because he was willing to stretch his faith. He wasn't ashamed or embarrassed or afraid or too humble to ask. Amen. We need faith to please God, but sometimes God calls on us to stretch our faith. We don't need to be scared or ashamed to want to have more. Listen now carefully. We don't need to be ashamed or scared to want to have more so we can do more to glorify God and bless people with God's resources. If God gave us more, who does it still belong to? God. If God made you a millionaire overnight, it's still God's money. It just proves that he's come to a point that he believes he can trust you to do the right thing with it. Yeah, you're gonna take care of yourself and your family. He understands that. He wants you to. He expects you to. But he says, okay, because when you only had $50 a week, you will give somebody in the community that had no money $5. And then when I gave you $500 a week, you will give somebody in the community or several people $50. Now that you've gotten $5,000 a week, I know you're going to give that $500. In other words, I can trust you with more. Because when you had less, you were faithful with that. Church family, we need to stretch our faith and believe God for more so we can do more to glorify him and bless people with his resources. I'm challenging us to stretch our faith in every area of our lives. I know that's right because Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says, the just shall live by faith. What you doing right now? You're living every moment of the day. So the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Trouble in your life. Stretch your faith like Job did. Though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Paul and Silas in a Philippians jail prayed at midnight. The angel came, shook the jail, and set them free. Stretch your faith like the 10 lepers the 10 lepers who had leprosy or the woman with the issue of blood. The 10 lepers came to Jesus and Jesus cleansed them. He told them, just go show yourselves. Stretch your faith and just go to Jesus and know that he can do whatever it is you need him to do. The woman with the issue of blood didn't even talk to Jesus initially. She just touched his clothing. And her faith in the power that was in Jesus is what healed her. Stretch your faith when you're depressed or lonely, like Joseph did. Joseph had every reason to take his own life because his brothers mistreated him. And everywhere he went, Potiphar's wife lied on him, facing a rape charge, didn't touch the woman. Matter of fact, she touched him. Went to prison. But he stretched his faith even when he was in prison. And the reward for that was not, listen now, God started rewarding Joseph before he became second in charge of Egypt. No. Long before he became second in charge of Egypt, God rewarded him. Why? Because the Bible tells us everywhere he went, he had an excellent spirit on him. God gave him that excellent spirit. And every place he was, the folks in charge recognized his excellent spirit. And they always made Joseph in charge of everything else. Even in prison, he was in charge of the prisoners. In Potiphar's house, Potiphar said, you can say and do anything you want with everything I own except for my wife. He said, my wife is the only person that you have no authority over. But every other thing I have, Joseph, whatever you say, that's what it's going to be. So even before he got to be second in command of all Egypt, and by the way, just in case you don't know, historical point, Egypt was the most powerful country on the face of the earth when Joseph came along. So he went from a prison one day to being second in command of the most powerful nation on earth the next day because he stretched his faith. You have money problems. Stretch your faith like Peter. Lord, we need to pay the taxes. Go fish. First fish you catch, open his mouth. There'll be a coin there. There'll be enough to take care of what we need to pay. What am I saying? I'm saying tell the Lord what you need and then do what God says do. I'm going to say this, and I ain't going to spend no time dwelling on this. One of the things God says do is tithe. For some of us, it could be just as, I won't say simple, but it could be just as quickly a turnaround as us being willing to trust God and tithe. What do you tithe on? Whatever you have. Yeah, you tithe on whatever you have. If you got $10, you tithe one. If you got $20, you tithe two. It's whatever you have. It's not about I'm working, I don't work no more, I get a check. I know that all that is true. Whatever it is that you have as, how did T.D. Jakes say it the other day? Whatever it is that is your the income that you prosper. In other words, your spendable income. That's what you tithe on. Amen. But if that's your problem, money issues, stretch your faith. Whatever may happen to us in the days ahead, if we stretch our faith in Jesus, he will show up and he'll show out right on time. Church family, let's stop saying what we can't do and what can't happen. Let's stretch our faith and let's move forward. Jesus is our example, the greatest example of how God rewards folks who are willing to get out of their comfort zones and stretch their faith. Jesus Christ had every reason to give up. You know that he was talked about as a little boy. They ain't just talking about Jesus, they talked about his mama too. Talked about his daddy too. But he kept on. He stretched his faith. Amen. When he dared to be disobedient and stay behind after the Passover feast and his parents were going back home and he stayed in the temple, he was stretching his faith because he was doing what his father told him to do. Amen. When he went to the wedding in Canaan and his mama came to him and said they have no more wine and people think that he was being smart when he told his mom, you know, woman, it's not yet my time. You know, what is it that you're asking me to do? And she said, well, then she didn't even like I said, when I preached this some time back, she didn't even pay attention to what he was saying. She just looked at the other folks and said, whatever he say, do, you do it. Now, see, she stretched her faith. Because she knew that regardless of the response that he had given her, because I'm his mama, what I just asked him to do, he going to do something. I don't know what he going to do, but because I'm his mama, yeah, I got faith and confidence. He going to do something. And what did he do? Turned the water into wine. He didn't tell his mama, okay, mama, tell me what you want me to do. And he didn't say that. He did not even give her a positive response. But his mother, Mary, stretched her faith in the relationship she had with him, knowing at this time as a young man what he could do. She already knew who he was. She just turned around and said, whatever he said, because he going to tell y'all something to do. I ain't got no doubts about that. And he did. But more beyond that, when Jesus found himself on the night before he got taken into captivity out in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible says that there was that inner conflict within him, his flesh against his Holy Spirit, and said that it got the raging so much that sweat came out of his face, out of his eyebrows, and they looked like drops of blood. He had to stretch his faith. And he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. We can stretch our faith in Jesus because Jesus did what was taken and what was necessary for us to have confidence in his authority. He went to the cross. He let them nail him to that cross. He let them pierce him in his side. He let them take him down and put him in a borrowed tomb. And on that third day morning, Jesus got up with all power and trusted in his hands. He stretched his faith for Tosca. He stretched his faith for Joyce. He stretched his faith for Pete. He stretched his faith for Juan. He stretched his faith for Brother Jesse. He stretched his faith for all of us. He stretched his faith so that we can have confidence, that we can stretch our faith and move forward to give him glory. Stretch your faith, church family. Stretch your faith. Stretch your faith. You know, I'm going to say this, and I'm through. I'm through with the message, but I'm going to say this. Now, some people will look around this sanctuary today, and they'll see these empty pews, and I hear preachers say it, and I've said it myself. You know, attendance is dropping off at churches everywhere, and it is, but it's not for lack of people to come to church. Attendance is not dropping off because we lack folk out there that need to be in church. Attendance is dropping off because we haven't stretched our faith enough to go out and do what we need to do to bring them in. Amen. I'm just going to tell it like it is. That's what it is. Because everybody in here knows somebody that's not in church. Some of y'all is relatives, close friends, some of the co-workers, colleagues, and they don't go to anybody's church. Or even if they're a member of somebody's church, they're not attending that church regularly. You're not trying to convert them to make them members of Roanoke Salem, but you can say, just come on to service one Sunday. And folk have all kinds of reasons, and I'm talking about the church folk in the church, of why we don't invite people to come. Well, you know they're not going to like this. You know they're not going to like that. How do you know? You talking for you. You ain't talking for them because you ain't asked them. And if you ask somebody to come and they say they don't want to come, that's fine. They still your friend. They still whoever love them. Move on. Because I promise you, the law of averages are in our favor. One out of every 10 person is going to accept the invitation to just come and visit. So how many have you asked last week? Amen. Not only that. We are going to stretch our faith and have a transformation, as the Lord will allow, in how we do church. Amen. Amen. We're not going to give up the old traditions that have brought us this far. But listen now, be for real with yourself. Service in 2019 is not the same as it was 100 years ago. Amen. You know it's not. I'll go better than that. I've been a member of Roanoke Salem for 23-24 years now. Service ain't the same today as it was 24 years ago. And I ain't just talking about the preaching part of it either. I'm talking about the whole service. Amen. We're going to stretch our faith. I already see the day where we're going to have to open up them doors because we're going to have chairs there for the folk that are piling in here. You don't have to see it. You ain't got to clap. You ain't got to applaud. That's fine. I know what the Lord showed me. And I know what I'm doing and what I'm going to do to be obedient to what's going to make that happen. And if it don't, but two or three catch the vision, that's all it takes. There's a day coming soon and very soon. We're going to have to open up them doors over there to put seats down for folk coming in here. Amen. That's what I see. That's my faith. There are more things God wants us to have as a church family that we don't have. That we're going to have. Some of y'all will be involved in seeing it come to pass, and some of you won't, because some people will get mad and walk away, and some, you know, whatever their reason. And that's fine. No judgment. I'm telling you, Roanoke Salem, those who are members of Roanoke Salem, I'm telling you, I'm stretching my faith, and I'm moving forward. I pray we'll be together. If I get out there in the way that y'all think I'm crazy, y'all know y'all can send me packing anytime. I ain't got so much upstairs that I can't take a bag and throw it all in about 5 minutes to be out your way. But I'm moving forward in faith. I'm going to stretch my faith. Two things in 2019. I already told you, I'm going to be lit for Jesus, and I'm stretching my faith. Because I know God wants more. He wants more for us. Why? Because we've already proven we can be faithful over a few things. So there's much more that he wants us to possess to use to his glory, but we got to go get it. He's not going to just come and drop it out there in that parking lot. We got to be willing to go get it. And I'm going. Amen. To God be the glory. Let's give the Lord a praise.